Well, that's the very purpose of our Lord, is to find those who are lost. He came for the lost sheep. Well, we'd like to look over into Leviticus. Leviticus 16 tells a story. One of the things that I think is so special about our Lord is that if we find ourselves outside of His fold, we don't have to stay outside His fold. Not only do we not have to stay outside His fold, Jesus is the one who told the story, the parable of the one who was lost and how the shepherd went out to find him. Also told the story about the woman who had lost a coin, how she diligently sought till she found it, and the rejoicing that went on after the lost was found. He also told us a story about a man who had two sons. In Luke, remember that story about one who had went off, and the younger one had taken all his father had collected and earned and gave it to him, let him have it, and he took that and just went off and squandered it. But here's, I think, one of the key and beautiful passages in that story. It said, when he came to himself, he came to the place that he said, I'm tired. And he said, I remember home. And he turned around and headed back. And he said, I'm not worthy. I've squandered. I am broken. And I feel like I could just fill myself with the husks of this world. But I know it's not satisfying. But there's plenty in Father's house. And he turned around and headed back. Another wonderful thing I'd like to pick up from that story is that when he was headed back, it appears like the father had practiced often looking down the road. Where's my son? And this day he went out there and looked down the road and saw his son coming. I could almost see in my mind's eye the father looking. Perhaps the son had a little different walk. He probably went away pretty self-confident. And he came back with a different attitude. He came back with a different, perhaps even a little bit of a broken gait. But there's something about that the father still recognized. I believe he said, that's my boy. And when he came home, he ran to greet him, put his arm around him and ushered him back. One of the things that I find a little troubling about the story is the reaction of the other son. The other son became a little jealous, I suppose. Somehow he didn't react very well, and he didn't want to rejoice. But folks, Lord help us each one. When the Lord restores somebody to the fold, there ought to be a natural rejoicing with the Father. Oh, let's make a feast. Let's celebrate. And we thank the Lord for that today. I want to look at ourselves a little bit today. I think it's good for us to do that. I believe sometimes in the course of life that all humans, in the course of life, we don't always do everything exactly right. Sometimes, as a saved individual, what I'm saying, as you always felt like you did everything perfectly. Okay, today we say, I'm saved and sanctified, so I can't do anything but perfect. Is that the right way? Sister Carter shakes her head, no. I think she's right. There's a humility that God would have us to carry with us and recognize myself in the eyes of my Lord. Because whom the Lord loveth, he corrects and chastens. And his sons, you see, that's who he corrects and chastens and guides. So as I think about the Lord and us, and knowing that if we are even his children, there is a place that the Lord would deal with us in our soul and draw us ever nearer. Would correct places that hitherto we didn't even say, didn't see or recognize. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of his word and his spirit in our heart, there are things that get exposed by both of those, the word and the spirit, and we begin to recognize that I need to measure up, or I need to walk in the light as he is in the light. This is part of the daily walking. And I believe that the Lord, in his great mercy, knows when and how, just how, to shine that light on our pathway. Sometimes, perhaps we're not always able. Today, I may not be able to receive some of the light that the Lord would like to shed on my heart, on my pathway. And that might be your case too, that some right now you're not grown, haven't grown to the point that the Lord is able to reveal. Because I believe if the Lord revealed everything about us at one time, we wouldn't be able to take it. But in his mercy, he knows how to lead his dear children along. He knows how to teach and guide. He knows right when to reveal ourselves in the mirror of God's word. Have you ever, in the course of seeking the Lord, looking into the word of God and reading the Bible, maybe read a verse that you've read hundreds of times in your life, but today when you read that verse, something else stood out and you saw yourself in a different light, in that light of that scripture, and that was the Lord himself. The Lord stepped up to reveal something to me about myself and about him, and to feel his loving, drawing hand. And Brother Jeff said a while ago about the love, folks, the love of God not only draws us to him, but it keeps us in him, and it draws us ever nearer to him. This is what the Lord does for us. Well, humans have wrestled with the knowledge of not always doing everything right. And sometimes it is sin that happens in people's lives. And they wrestle with that. It happened in the Old Testament. It happened. There's different ways of that people have wrestled with it. One of them is very dishonest. We saw it first in Adam. Remember when God said, "What? What are you doing hiding?" I believe God knew exactly what he was doing hiding, but Adam needed to confess. It's good for us to confess. It's good to bring it out into the light. How was it? What did Adam say? We did eat, but he said that woman, remember? It wasn't me. It was somebody else's fault. Pretty easy to pass the blame, isn't it? Is that honest or is that good? Is that the way to get victory over it in our lives? I agree with you. It's not so. It's not the way. The best way, and I don't care if we stand among everybody else doing it wrong, it's best for me to say, "I'm doing it wrong, Lord. It's me. I shouldn't carry my ethics that I find, the truth that I find in the Lord, should not be mitigated or changed by if everybody else around me thinks it's different than what he said." Did I say that badly? I think I did. But what I mean is, the Lord's right, and let every man be a liar. The Lord is always right. And when he reveals his truth to me, I don't care how many human excuses I might concoct, there are none of them good enough in front of him. It's good to say, "It's me, Lord. It wasn't the woman you gave me. It was me. I took and ate of it. It was my fault. I'm culpable. It's my job to say it's me, Lord. And the Lord have us to own that and recognize. Well, recently, the last few days, you ever heard of Yom Kippur?
Yes.
Who said yes? You have. It's not a Yom Kippur. It's not something we generally talk about much here because, you know, that's an old Jewish holiday. But it actually was instigated here in Leviticus 16th chapter. And it had to do with humans dealing with the sin that they had. It's where it began. It's called Yom Kippur now. We would call it this giving, this redemption that they found. And it had to do with the scapegoat. You know what the scapegoat is? Remember that? Today we have a term about scapegoat that's almost passing the buck. We're going to put it on you. The scapegoat is really something that we should identify with. That the Lord has laid on who? Jesus. Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, that's something that's so comforting and overwhelming to me when I think of that. But I want to go over here in Leviticus, the 16th chapter. And the 29th verse, maybe, I don't know. You ought to actually sometimes sit down and read the whole chapter, the 16th chapter of Leviticus. But perhaps we'll read here in the 29th verse, the 16th chapter of Leviticus. And this shall be a statute forever unto you. God was saying this to the children of Israel. This was after, you remember Moses' sons who had offered, was it strange fire? Not Moses, Aaron's son. Sorry. Aaron's sons who had offered, I think it was strange fire there in this end, and the Lord smote them. Remember that? And the Lord said, don't even mourn over it. Remember, that was quite a, that they had sinned against the Lord. They had disregarded and dishonored God and had rebelled against him and just didn't regard God as high and holy and lifted up. They felt themselves to be lifted up and elevated. They weren't humble before the Lord. And they disregarded the Lord in such a way that it would have affected others also. They were in a place of leadership. And they should have represented God to them, to the other people, in a very humble, very respectful way. And the Lord didn't allow that to go on. So they were held to account. And after this, the Lord said, He set something up that they might understand how to deal with the sin in their life. And here in the 29th verse, and this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourns among you. So this sounds like anybody in there at this time, their job. And today, when they celebrate Yom Kippur, it's a 25-hour fast. And what I heard one say, we don't drink water either in that 25-hour fast. That's what they interpreted this as, afflicting your own soul. Let me ask you this question. If you do this, just do it as something that we do every year. Doesn't God want more than just something we expect to do? When we enter it, that you afflict your soul, that you just go into a fast. Sometimes I want to go into some of this fasting in our ideas today, our idea of fasting. It's okay. You know, I know there's all kinds of reasons. Sometimes people fast. Sometimes they do it for health reasons. But this is a spiritual thing we're talking about. God would have us, when we fast, I think it should mean something more than just laying off the food. But in that process, there should be a seeking of the Lord, a looking into my very soul. That's just part of what this was for. They were supposed to look inside themselves and recognize places in themselves that I haven't treated my neighbor right or haven't done some of these things. I recognize that I haven't lived up to what I know to do to be right. This is what they had to deal with. He wanted them to stop everything around. Don't quit your working. Don't make food. Don't drink. Consider well. Begin to look at yourself before the Lord. It wasn't so much of a, Lord, I'm fasting because I want a new car. It wasn't like that. It was a, Lord, I want my soul to be in connection with you. And there have been some places that I've allowed the cares of this life and the busyness, and my mind has gotten so distracted. I've had other things have entered in. I had a little bit of bitterness begin to creep up within my soul, and it's distracted. And somewhere there's grown a little distance between me and you. And I don't want that, Lord. That's the fast. It's not just being hungry for 25 hours. That's not it. It's more than that. Over in Isaiah, we can get to a verse where he said, is this the type of fast? Is this what I really was wanting? No, the Lord wants more than just the laying off of food. He wants an adoration. He wants us to focus again back on Him and seek His face and His indwelling in my heart, His character to be painted all over me, that I become more like Christ every day. Again, I don't want to give the idea that God is so unapproachable that I've got to be in anguish. No, I think we can joyfully approach Him. We can happily serve Him, but we should earnestly seek Him. Not in dread, because He is our Heavenly Father. But God would have us seek Him with our whole heart. Not having a divided love. That's part of what this is. This time I look at myself and realize, Lord, folks, as a saint, I can look at myself as a saved and sanctified saint of God. There have been many times I look back and say, oh, Lord, I didn't say that right. Am I the only one who has had those accounts? I'm talking about living holy here. I'm talking about holiness unto God. Part of the path of walking holy before the Lord is acknowledging places where we didn't do it right. That didn't mean we backslidden. That means the Lord in His light has shone on my pathway. And I thought, Lord, now I see. And have a heart to say, Lord, today I want to walk beside you a little closer. And sometimes in that process, there is an affliction that we do. And it's sometimes expressed in the, what was it in the New Testament? Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, afflict. Don't let your carnal passions rule you. Because in my own self, I can find lots of reasons to excuse my little root of bitterness that I've let grow. And I'm just using that. There's a whole lot of other ways that the devil can worm his devices into me. I can excuse, oh, because I want this so bad that I can make room for myself. And Jesus looks at us lovingly and says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to take up the cross. You're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to not allow that part. And the reason why he says it lovingly to us, and the reason why it is so loving, because he knows that when we take a bite of that forbidden, within that there is poison that starts to damage our very soul. And because he loves us, he said, don't give over to that. Deny yourself. Afflict that part. But when we... what was it Jesus also said? If you lose your life for my sake... What life is he talking about here? He's talking about the life, this fleshly part that would gratify just the flesh and turn after where the devil has his strength and his places of strength of temptation. He says, deny that. And if you will let that part die, you're going to find a much greater life. If you'll deny yourself, you will find life. And it's a much greater life. I can tell you today, over the years that I have spent walking with the Lord, every time that I denied myself, every time that I turned away from my own personal desires, when I divested my mind in making reason why I could do some things that I shouldn't do, and perhaps at that point it had been kind of confusing in my mind because I had wanted it so bad, I found reason to say, it's okay. But then I got alone with the Lord and he said, it's not okay. But when I would go down that road, there was always a prick and a sting, something that wasn't good. There's poison in doing it my way. But when I give up that, every time I've done that, oh, there's such a freedom and a liberty that we find in Christ. There's such a real life of God that begins to rise within us. And his character, the way he lived his life in this world, we can also emulate that. And we find that character blooming within our very soul. And that's what God wants. He wants us to be like him. I would like to maybe quote some or just call your attention to some of this chapter. There was Aaron, when he began to approach the Lord, approach the holiest of holy, he had to bring a young bullock. And he had to offer that as a sin for him and his household. And he had to bring that blood. There was sprinklings and things that he... And there was a goat over here that he chose from the congregation. Two goats that he chose from the congregation. One was intended to be a blood sacrifice. The other one was what they called the scapegoat. And in this process, they set both these offerings before the Lord. And the Lord made choice of which one would be the scapegoat and which one would be the blood sacrifice. And as they did that, Aaron. I was thinking about the Levitical. Anyway, Aaron, as he approached this sacrifice, began to bring this to the Lord, the Holy of Holies, he could go behind the veil. It seemed like it was during this time the Lord really set up a barrier between the court, the general court, and the Holy of Holies. There was a real, real solemnness about that. And when Aaron went in there, he couldn't go in there without the blood, without the cleansing, without the holy garments that he put on, the linen garments. That was something that the Lord said you need to, even when you approach these holy garments, they were dedicated for this one purpose. And his job, when he would wash himself inside this structure, nobody else in there but him, he would wash himself and he put on the holy garments and approach the Lord in behind the veil. And then he would come back out when he had performed his job, and it was a bloody job. It just was, because the blood is very important to us today, because within the blood is the life. Within that blood is yet the life for you and I today. It's the reason why in Christianity we accept it, we recognize it, that we are Christians. We claim to be so. Why? Because we emulate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But to be in that family, within the body of Christ, there's a blood there. There's a sacrifice that brought us in and connected with the vine that we find there. This is what that the Lord brings us to. And it is through the blood that we enter in. And without it, we can't. But within it, there is life. Brother Jeff mentioned earlier about entering in. That there is something when we come and again are connected with the Lord. Oh, what joy sweeps over our heart. What cleanness that we find. What acceptance before our Lord and Savior. And as we behold His great mercy, we see Him on the cross. Oh, it breaks our heart. No longer do I want to be that old man. For one thing, we're not that old man anymore. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. But in this blood, as Aaron, as he was doing his part, and he came back out of that linen cloth, those holy garments he had on, they had to stay there. He took that off and put on his other garments afterwards, but that holy, those dedicated clothes had to stay. I'd never noticed that till just recently when I read it. I don't know all the reasons why, but I think there's something that God wanted humans to greatly respect and honor Him. Because, folks, He is God. And there's a part of us that says, you know, we should fear the Lord. And I agree that we should fear. But to get at the meaning of fearing God, I don't think it totally means that we should dread Him. Because I don't think He wants us to dread Him, but He wants us to greatly honor and respect Him for who He is, and allow that adoration humble me in His presence, but happily be His child at the same time. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord made that? And in that humility that we find before Him, as being just happily being one of His dear children, it affects me. It changes me. Just living in His presence, to hear His voice, to see His face, to feel His touch, and sometimes His correction. Because whom the Lord loves, He does correct. He chastens. Sometimes we get the idea of chastening as something that it's abusive or hard. But I want to tell you, God's not really like that. He's true, and He's honest, and He's very, His ways are right. But He's not mean. He's a God who loves and guides. And He'll correct us. Oh, yes. Yes, He will. But He does it in such a way that David, when he looked at all that God had done, he said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I don't know how the Lord does it so well, but He does. He's my Heavenly Father. And go on a little bit more in the story of the scapegoat. Came back out of there, and then he began to... This other goat had to be sacrificed. And after that, there was... And again, the blood was being applied. And after that, Aaron was to take his hands and put it on the head of this other goat. And while he was doing that, he was confessing the sins of the people. He was saying, and I thought of that recently when I was reading that. I thought, what would we do today, Lord, for this nation? I think of the great sins of this nation. I believe if today we were going through this process, we'd put our hands on that and say, "Lord, have mercy on this nation. The great sins that we find here." And you can go over in your mind, Part of me wants to really start naming some of those. Well, you know, you look around, there are some great sins. Folks, it's wrong to kill a batch of babies. It's horrible. We can't escape the wrath of God and continue doing that. It's time to put our hands on some of this and say, Lord, have mercy on our nation. We're sorry for what we've been doing. For saying it's all right for men to be married, man to man. Folks, that's wrong. We've got to meet God. It's His world. It's not mine. And I can excuse a whole lot of things in my mind, in my human reasoning. But when I stand before Him, those melt away in His presence. And we can say, well, you're supposed to love whoever you want to love, and it's fine. Folks, I want to tell you, you're supposed to love indeed. But God has a way that's right. And I today would have to say there are some sins that has wormed its way into the psyche of our nation. That's evil. And it's a sin against God and His plan. When humans can look at ourselves and say, well, I'm really different than the way God made me. And so I'm going to change that. That doesn't answer the anguish of a soul. It doesn't. It doesn't fix it. The only thing that can truly answer the anguish of a soul is say, Lord, help me to be more like You. In my younger days, I knew somebody who was born with a severe abnormality. It was severe enough that sometimes it had been hard to tell whether this person, would it be easier to call him a male or a female? They were born that way. I can tell you that person focused their heart and their desire to serve the Lord. And they came to the point when the funeral, our family sang at her funeral, she said, will you sing me? Sing that song. I find no fault in him. Folks, there's victory for us. I don't care how we feel like the Lord, or in what way that the Lord has made us, He made you right, and it's good. Don't sin against Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to be hard. Because folks, I want to tell you, we are approaching a time in this world, there's many people have been damaged by Satan's answer. And when those people come in our doors, I want them to feel the love of God when they get here. I want them to find hope in Christ. Can't always fix what has been stolen from them, but there's a place in their soul can be answered. There's a hope there. And that's what we want. Because God wants to take them to heaven too. Christ died for them too. I want to be able to look at those people and I want them to feel the genuine love that's in our heart. And I want them, when we tell them about Christ, I want them to realize that Christ is real because they see Him first in us. We start talking about this from the perspective of Aaron putting his hand on the scapegoat and started confessing the sins of the people. Perhaps some of those, the sins, what were the Ten Commandments? Actually, the Ten Commandments had they been given here? At this point, maybe they had. I don't know my chronology right now. Yes, excuse my voice. But the Ten Commandments, we know what those are. Those are very basic, good, sound instruction and guidance for life. And likely many of those throughout the year as they walked through their life, throughout that year, they probably had places they didn't do well with that. And now, at this point, at this time of the year, they were supposed to get themselves alone, away from the business of life, and sit still before the Lord and ponder their own heart. And remember the times when they probably didn't do what was right. And begin to say, Lord, there's some, you know, confession. This is kind of a term that we know. Confession is good for the soul. Folks, it is. It's good to just admit sometimes. It's good clearing of yourselves. And I wonder sometimes if Aaron, I don't know, I'd like to have been there to heard his prayer when he was confessing the sins of the people. Whatever was going on, Lord, help us, help our neighbors and our brothers and sisters. That, Lord, you see these things going on around us. You see the coldness that has grown over people's hearts. Where your law, the commandments that you've given us have lost some of the real meaning in our heart. Lord, revive us today, Lord. We need revivals, dear ones. We need that. What they were praying, this was a solemn time when they were looking at themselves and looking at the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm not quite like you. I want to be more like you. And they were looking, and then they were confessing. And as they took that scapegoat from there, and they took it out, said, into the wilderness where no man lived. There wasn't anything out there. You ever remember the verse that says he would cast our sin as far as the never to be? Never. Where no man lived. Take this now. It's confessed. We brought it before the Lord. I didn't hide it. I openly confessed it. Lord, this is me. I don't like it. I want to be different. And they took it out. The Lord accepted it. There was an offering for their sin and a removal of their sin. And they took it out and turned it loose. And it left. Went away. I want to quickly, Psalms 119th chapter. Now there's other things we could probably get out of here, but I don't think I need to do any more. Just sometimes read that chapter and let the Lord talk with us. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Psalms 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? How are we going to deal? Young men, oh, I want to tell you, especially men and young men, you're important to the Lord. And young women, you are too. But there's something special about a man, a young man, giving his heart to the Lord. You have great effect on your family. You have great effect on those around you. And I know if a man's not in the right place, the Lord can use a woman to try to affect. But men are supposed to be spiritually connected with the Lord and be good godly leaders in their home. Be good godly leaders in a congregation, in their communities. We're supposed to have that influence on those around us. We're supposed to. Don't act like we don't. Shoulder that responsibility and say, Lord, help me to be more like you. You are my head, Christ. I want to be like you. Oh, precious Jesus, shine your light on my life. Help me, Lord, to stand up in humble manliness to be that godly leader that you would have me to be. Wherewithal shall a young man, all young men are very important to the Lord.
I know all are.
But I want to really tell us today that our young men are very important. And the Lord help us as our young men to get a hold of what the Lord has for young. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto. Look at our ways. Assess them and recognize where the ways are good and where they're wrong. And recognize, acknowledge sometimes, that's not right and I know it. And I don't want that to have dominion in my life anymore. Because I want to be like you, Lord. Where shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. That's the 10th verse. Now with my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid. It was important enough, what you said to me, Lord, was important enough that I gave it residence in my heart. I have embraced it. I have clutched it to my bosom. I have sheltered it there. I've hid it there because it's important to me. And when all these other influences would like to come and abrade my spiritual desires for you, would like to try to somehow cool that part of me down, I have hid your love in my heart. I've hid your word there. I protected it, you see. It's important to me. Thy word have I hid in my heart. We apply this sometimes to the memory verses. That's good. Apply these to your memory. That's great. I believe that. But beyond that, there's a place that we should embrace it and protect it in my heart. I've hid it there that I might not sin against thee. It's something that is so valuable to me that I won't let the devil steal it. Your ways, Lord, are more valuable than anything else. Over in Micah, the 6th chapter. Again, reading there was connection with how we deal with places in our life that aren't quite right. How will a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed of what the Lord says. He's more valuable by also bringing that sometimes in confession to the Lord. Acknowledging where I am. One of the things I found in my walk with the Lord, there were places the Bible talks about besetting sins, things that are reoccurring problems. I found in my own walk with the Lord, when I am facing something that I'm having a hard time getting total victory over, I found one of the effective tools that I've used. I've gotten up in the morning, I've prayed, and I've specifically called that thing out. Lord, here it is. This is what I'm struggling with. You know, the devil loves to hide over in dark corners. But when we drag him kicking and screaming out to the light, he doesn't have much power, because there's a great authority in that little word, no. When I tell the devil no, he can't go against that. Because greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. We have the authority in Christ to say no. We can resist the devil. That's a grace that the Lord has given us. Own it. Say thank you, Lord, for it, and then use it. All right. Over in Micah 6th chapter. We're with 6th verse. 6 and 6. Micah 6 and 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves of a year old? Sound there was things about that in the old law. That's what they were supposed to do. But there was more than just bringing a calf every year. It was more than that. It had to do, we were supposed to see the seriousness. We were supposed to let it mean something to my soul. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Is that what the Lord wants? Does the Lord want just a lot of this type of an action where I afflict myself? I'm willing to whip my back. I'm willing to do... Folks, if it doesn't do anything in your soul, it's not good. He doesn't want just sacrifice for sacrifice's sake. He wants the soul given to Him. Wholly and completely. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Is that what the Lord wants? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Pretty simple, isn't it? We can do that. What is good and what doth the Lord require thee but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? I know over in the New Testament it's had a wider and a closer expression. But this is the Old Testament. This is still what the Lord requires of us today. With the added expression that we find in the New Testament, the enablement, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the Word dwelling within us, that God wants us to still walk humbly with our God, to love Him. 58th chapter of Isaiah. So in part of what we've covered so far, I think the Lord would have us, as we seek to please Him, as we seek to be acceptable in His presence, it's through the blood, it's through the forgiveness, through the He takes our sin and casts as far as the east is from the west. Christ is our scapegoat for today. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's laid on Him the iniquity of us all. This is the hope that we find in Christ. And God would have us to walk carefully and humbly and hungrily. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, you see. God would have us to give our all to Him, not halfway, because you can't serve two masters. One will win, the other will lose. And we want God to win in our life. We want Him to own us wholly and completely. So we should give Him our all. Isaiah 58. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? This is the fifth verse. Isaiah 58 and 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? And there's more in that verse than what I have read. But the question is Yom Kippur just about me afflicting myself? To the Jews today, sometimes that's pretty much it is. I know it's to some of them, it's pretty serious about it, and they fast and they're very careful. I understand that. But sometimes it has degenerated into just something we do. And folks, I'm afraid sometimes around the camp of the saints, we can get it boiled down to just the letter of the law. It's just something we do. It's tradition. And I want to tell you, God wants it to be way more than tradition. He wants it to be real. I don't want to just pass on tradition to my children and my grandchildren. I want to pass on the life of Christ. Because they're facing a world that I didn't face. And they're going to need Christ. Like we did in our generation. And the Lord will be sufficient. His grace is sufficient for them in this generation they're facing. But folks, we're not going to be able to do it by passing on tradition. They're going to have to do it by knowing my Lord and knowing the life that we find in Christ. I'm not here to throw out tradition, but we better understand the reason why it became tradition. If it was a godly tradition, it came down from the Lord Himself. And we need to know the author of that, or else the tradition will mean nothing after a while. We need to know the author and need to have His reality in our heart. So is this the fast that I wanted, just a day to afflict your soul? No, that's not the ultimate. Sixth verse says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness? Loosing the bands of wickedness goes at least two ways from this statement here. One of it, to loose the bands of wickedness, perhaps things that I may hold on you. I need to release my brother and my sister. I need to be careful. We need to be careful how we handle each other. But oh, I want to tell you, there's a personal place that this can apply. If there's places that there's some binding that Satan is trying to cast his wicked ways around us and entwine us, God would have that loosed today. God wants His children to be free. It's not His will that you and I be bound by forces that are unlike Him. Nor should we ever glory and say, but we sin more or less every day. Because that's identifying with my old master. And God would not have us identify with that. God would have us say, Lord, I want Your holiness in my life. And Lord, I acknowledge sometimes I don't do everything right, but I want Your holiness. All the way down to the bone, to the mind, to the cleansing of my very character. Everything that I need You indwelling me, dear Lord. Isn't this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds, the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens? And again, sometimes we can bind heavy burdens on our fellow man that God never intended to bind. Or sometimes they're not even able to bind the burden. Maybe it's a burden, might be we may have even told them the truth, but maybe they're not strong enough to bear it at that point. Loose it. Don't let the Lord strengthen them. Let the Lord bring them to the place where they're grown and become strong and able to bear some things. The Lord knows His children. Loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. Sometimes we carry burdens that God wouldn't have us to carry also. Sometimes they're a weight. They're a thing that would hinder us in our walk with the Lord. And Lord, have us, if there's some things today that You find in Your heart, as we look inward today, not the person next to us in the seat, but ourselves, and say, Lord, is there some things that just weighing me down? They're hindrances in my walk with You. The Lord says, this is what I want You to do. This is the fast that I really want. I want You to throw that aside. I want You to give that to Me, whatever burden that is. I want You to turn loose of that. Sometimes it's only truly carried when we let the Lord carry it. Before that, it's just a weight that weighs us, anchors us. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. And that You break every yoke. Lord, help us to allow the Lord to do that in our hearts and in our fellow man, that we not bind heavy yokes. You know who deserves to be bound? It's not people, it's the devil. Put some binding on him. Next time he comes with those hard temptations, spend some time with the Lord. And then look at him in the eye and say, Satan, I don't have to do it. I say no to You today.
And you can. Because it's a grace that the Lord is reaching out. And He says, son, my grace is sufficient for you. You can.
Thank the Lord for His saving grace today. Amen. Thank the Lord that He has provided us a lamb today. Thank the Lord that we don't have to identify with our old master today at all. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Thank the Lord for His saving grace. Thank the Lord that the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And has cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Thank the Lord for that today. Thank the Lord for the gospel today that we can share with our fellow man. We can love them in their heart and let them know there's a hope for them too. The gospel that we have today is real. It not only changes us, but it'll change whosoever will. Pray for me. I want to serve you.